Y'all ready to receive the word today? You ready to get some answers? One of the areas that I love to talk about, because I feel like I need to come against it because of church and what everybody says. And I know many of you have heard me say this before, but maybe some of you haven't. One of the things that just drives me, is this injection I believe the enemy has given into the church is, well, whatever's just meant to be, I just believe whatever's supposed to happen will just happen. You know, you hear people all the time on TV, they think they're giving a spiritual wise answer. They say, well, I just believe whatever's meant to be will just be. I believe whatever's supposed to happen just happens. Really, in the church, that is one of the most ridiculous things you could ever say. It is one of the most ridiculous things you could ever say. Because, see, if it just is que sera, sera, if it's just whatever will be, and everything's just done. How many of you know the will of God is not always done on the earth? Now, the will of God hopefully is always done in our lives, but it's the will of God that no one perish. Is anybody perishing? Is anybody perishing? Are people splitting hell wide open every day? Why? Because of a wrong choice. You know, people say, well, if you have a loving God, why would a loving God send anyone to hell? God's never sent anyone to hell. I lost some of you. God's never sent anyone to hell. Their choice sent them to hell. I set before you Deuteronomy 30, 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I set before you life and death. I mean, even the greatest spiritual things, he set before all of humanity, life or death. And so this morning, what I want to give you is, I want to help us to make godly decisions. I want you to be able, how many of you know if we make some godly decisions in our life or we choose correctly, life's going to be altogether better. How many of you know the enemy would like for you to stay in the natural realm and choose only by what you see, only by what you feel? He wants you to make decisions from this earthly realm. He would love for you to make decisions from your soul and your body. The devil needs you to stay in this natural realm. But you and I are not natural. Did you know that? Amen. You're supernatural people of God. You're born from heaven. You have something that others don't have, and we need to start using that something like never before. You need to be more aware. Wake up, church. It's time for us to get it together and understand that God's got some plans. God's got some purposes. He needs us to pursue those things because it's time for the glorious church. We're living in the last days, and you don't want to be out of position because of choices that you make. Or garbage that you're hearing, or just being asleep or at slumber. I'm awake. I've had some things over the last couple of weeks. Wake me up. I'm awake. You awake? Come on. I'm here this morning to shake you up just a little bit, all right? Hallelujah. I had great utterance first service, but I believe I'm going to have better utterance second service. But you got more to do with that, amen? There's my Donnie, she's my amen girl. She'll help you out. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Are you with me? Deuteronomy 30, 19. I call the heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So life goes with blessing. Death goes with cursing. There are two roads on the earth. You choose one or the other. There is no middle ground here. You're either on the life road where there's blessing or you're on the death road where there's cursing. I'm not talking about saying foul language. A curse is what's going on in this earth. You either walk in the blessing of God and the blessing of Abraham, or you work in the curse of the fall or the curse of the law. You're walking in two places. And the psalm said, I have kept me from the path of the destroyer. That's the death road. That's the curse road. That's where things are. But how do you keep off of that road? Through your own words, through your own mouth, through your own choices. Choices are so big. So what I'm saying is the church right now, the devil would love us all to fall asleep and believe, well, whatever is meant to be is just going to be. If that's the truth, then there's no reason to be born again. There's no reason to choose Jesus. You have to choose him. It's a choice. Do you know you're born again? How do you know that? Because you chose to believe something. You believe that he was the Son of God, that he took our sins on the cross and our sickness and disease, and you believe that he was raised from the dead. You believe that, and you said something about it, and you're born again. And do you know it? You made a choice. You made a choice. Faith is a choice. You chose something. And that's what God has said. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. So that means to tell me if I'm not choosing life, I'm choosing death. To make no decision is to make a decision. Someone who doesn't make a decision about Jesus has made a decision about their destiny. If they don't choose him, they choose death. I set before you life and death. I meant, so are we going to choose life? Are you ready to choose some life? Are you ready to have the abundant life? You ready for the Zoe life? It's available, amen. It's always available, but we got to choose it every day. We got to choose it every day. And so all this choosing going on, I say it like this, and it irritates people sometimes, but I say it like this. Your life today is the sum total of all the decisions you've made. Now listen to me. We can't keep life, or here on the earth, we can't keep things from coming at us. You can't always live a perfect way, you know, Mr. or Miss Perfectionist that you are, and just do everything so right that you never, or disappointment. But when problems come your way, or disappointment, maybe you're disappointed with where you're at in life. Maybe you don't feel like people pat you on the back enough for what you do, and you get disappointed. That's just a tactic of the devil. Or, you know, you're tired of people doing you wrong. So you decided in this one case, I'm going to be mean to this one person to try to get rid of them. God won't mind. I'll get forgiveness later. You know, not to pick on him. When I hired my youth pastor now, you know, I thank God for my two associate pastors. Equally a blessing to me. They're, you know, Robert associate. But he used to have this attitude. I don't know where he got it from. To get forgiveness is easier than permission. So he would just do things and ask me to forgive him later. He don't do that no more. Don't get that attitude with God. Well, I'll just do it. He'll forgive me. Yeah, you can get forgiven a lot of times, but the consequence of your action is still there. And yes, he does deliver you out of all the works. And we preach that a lot around here. But what am I talking about today? I'm talking about choosing things so that we can have the abundant life. Are you ready to do some choosing? Are you ready to do some choosing? It's like this in Hebrews 11:25. How many remember Moses? How many know that Moses was called from his mother's womb? How many know that God went out of his way? You remember this? Did not God go out of his way to protect Moses and keep him alive? Remember? Come on, y'all went to Sunday school, right? Put him in a basket. Pharaoh's daughter found him. He was raised in Pharaoh's house as an equal grandchild in line for the throne. But it came a point in his life. He had to determine, am I going to do God's call and my purpose and my destiny? Choosing. Everybody say choosing. So we got to choose something. Choosing. You can either choose. My wife said, Pastor Rhonda says it like this. Short-term pain will produce long-term gain. In our life, you see, I know you hear God wants you blessed and it's all wonderful all the time. And it is. But can I tell you, sometimes choosing God's way, the road looks a little rougher for a minute or two. Choosing God's way is sometimes rough on your flesh for a little while. It is. Well, I just thought I thought life was good. Well, life gets you to the good place, but sometimes you got to make some hard choices. You do. This was a hard choice for him. Choosing rather to suffer what? How many know affliction? That ain't good. With the people of God, he chose the right direction. He chose the right people. He chose the right way. than to enjoy. How many know enjoy? Do you want to enjoy? Yeah, we're supposed to enjoy some things, but enjoy what? Enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So we have to choose rightly. In other words, your flesh wants to go the easy route and enjoyment. Sometimes it's hard not to get up in the morning, read your Bible, and pray every day so that you can grow. Sometimes it's easier, you know, you've all done a wonderful thing today. The Bible says to assemble yourself together. And we make it so that, you know, hopefully our live stream people who can't get here, but they literally can't get here. Because I appreciate it and love it. Don't anybody get mad at me who's watching. But the Bible didn't say watch live stream every Sunday morning. It said assemble yourself. Now, it's there for convenience or if someone's gone or they need it. But if you're within 100 miles, you can drive. Hallelujah. What? That's inconvenient. You're going to be living next to people in heaven who got their heads chopped off for Jesus. I can't be here 30 minutes too early to watch a child. I can't be on time for worship practice. You're going to be living in heaven with people who literally got burned at a stake. Pastor Mark, this ain't fun. Well, I'm telling you, it's time to choose. It's time to choose some things in the earth right now. We're being bombarded. They're trying, especially in the United States, trying to lessen the effect of the church. Trying to get you to think different, talk different. You're bombarded with it. So we have to choose. Is God right? Is God's ways right? Because I want to get you, the Lord wants you to get to the abundant life. We can live in the abundant life right in the middle of a mess. It's time to choose. Everybody say, I choose life. I choose life, right? So he chose, what did he choose? He chose God's way rather than a fleshly pleasure, but it would, because see, even that fleshly pleasure is just for a time. It's a season. It's a season. There was somebody, y'all getting to something whole different than they did first service. There was somebody in heaven that was created for a position. His position was not to be the most seen. His position was to bring glory and honor to the great God. And God formed him. But he decided, I will ascend. And I'm going to be like the Most High God because I deserve it anyway. I lead all this worship all the time. And everybody's been telling me how great I am. And I do believe I am great. And I do believe that I'm not supposed to be in a submissive position anymore. I believe I'm supposed to ascend. So for a season, he got a group of folk, angels, created to worship God. And even God had to deal with rebellion in heaven, in a perfect place. But what was it? Who we know as the devil decided that I need to enjoy this more. This needs to be more about me. And he tried to ascend, and he got out of his purpose. He got out of his purpose. What's your purpose? I've been praying a lot about purpose. What's your purpose? And if you know your purpose, you'll keep your place, and you'll be happy in your place. But if you don't know your purpose, you're going to try to get into somebody else's purpose. And in the body of Christ, we're all body parts, and we all have a specific function. I'm glad my heart only tries to do what my heart needs to do and doesn't try to do it. I don't need an extra, you know, I don't need a third lung. My two lungs know what to do. I don't need my heart saying, you know what, they're bigger, they're kind of more interesting. I don't need my little pinky, to try to be my elbow. My pinky knows it's supposed to, you know, scratch my ear or whatever. It knows what it's for. And it needs to be happy about it. It doesn't get to wear my wedding ring. This one's been assigned to do that. And this is all about choosing. Choosing to be content where God has put you. Choosing life. That Moses is called. Can you see, I'm going way too long on this. Can you see that Moses, though, what a temptation. In the line of Pharaoh, an adopted son who looks different than everybody else but has more power. Could have had all the power. And yet he had to choose to suffer with the people he was called to so that he could get to his place. And then in Hebrews 12, 16 through 17, one of my favorite counts, the Message Bible. Choices. I just wanted to show you the consequence of choice. Everybody remember Esau? How many know that Esau had a birthright? In other words, he had a specific place and a specific purpose. But he didn't like his place, he didn't like his purpose, or he didn't esteem it. He didn't think what he was called to do or what. And then the other thought he had was, it doesn't matter what I do, I can't lose it. Because I'm this, I'm the firstborn, and I was put here by God. It doesn't matter what I do, what I say, I'm going to get to keep it, and it's mine. But how many know through wrong choices, we can lose our place? Through wrong choices. So one day he got hungry. You ever been hungry? I know sometimes if you're real hungry, you just about do anything. And remember one day, what did he do? He chose to trade away his birthright. And listen to me. Now, I know God delivered you out of all your trouble. But in this one, God could not reverse it because of his choice. Choices are important. Choices are important. So it says, watch the Esau syndrome. Trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. You will know how Esau later regretted it, that impulsive act or decision, and wanted God's blessing, but it was too late. Tears or no tears. Choices that we make. Are you anybody in here besides me grateful for God's mercy? And you see, when we're making wrong choices, what does God do? Oh, he's right there. Are you grateful for the Holy Ghost? Lord, have me see. Ah, so grateful for the Holy Ghost. Because you go to make a wrong choice, you got something on the inside that's saying, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And what do you have a choice to do? You either override it or obey. And so, how many of you know that we all have choices to make? And in our choices, if we're going to make godly decisions, then we've got to get the wisdom of God. Listen, there's two kinds of wisdom. There's a godly wisdom that comes from above. The Bible says it's pure, it's peaceable. And then there's an earthly wisdom. There's an earthly wisdom that satisfies your flesh. It gratifies you. It's something you can see, hear, feel, taste, touch. It's in the sense realm, and it's that wisdom. And that's what most humans operate by, and unfortunately, most believers operate by. The wisdom of God, if it ever crosses natural wisdom, you should always go with the wisdom of God. Whose wisdom are we following? And so Pastor Rhonda says this all the time, God is smarter than I am. Is he? God's not opposed to intelligence. God's not opposed to you going to university. He's not opposed to you getting a doctorate degree. I think, as a matter of fact, it's God's great. You need to have a smart mind. You know, we always joke, well, it's not rocket scientists. But we got some rocket scientists in the room right now, and I'm grateful for rocket scientists. But the truth of the matter is, what God is trying to say is, don't lean on your own understanding. He's not against intelligence. Intelligent people can serve God too. I think you're all intelligent for serving God. But he's not, don't rely on it. And when his wisdom crosses that wisdom, you've got to go with his wisdom because God is smarter than you are. Why is he smarter than you are? Because he knows tomorrow. He knows the decisions you make and all the ramifications thereof. It's like master chess playing. You know, like in a chess game, if you've ever played chess and you get good at it, you got to be thinking 3, 4, 5 moves down the road. It's not checkers. Checkers is on a single level, and it doesn't take as much strategy. But chess, You got to know the moves. You got to be thinking down the road. And so God, because of what time we live in and your life and how important it is to him, he needs you to start thinking down the road. You can't keep things coming at you, but you can determine how you're going to respond to them. When you get a feeling on the inside, when you've had some tough things and there's a root of bitterness growing in you about it, you got to take that thing seriously. Like, there ain't nothing like that going to be living in me. And you know, your offense at anyone or anything, you can keep it and say, well, you know, God's going to forgive me, but we've been looking on Wednesday night. Your faith works by love. You can't afford that. You can't afford to mistreat anybody. I don't care how much you don't like them. You can't afford never to not talk to somebody on purpose because they've been mean to you, or you don't think that, you know, even just, I'm just going to avoid conflict, so I'm not going to ever talk to them. Please, quit kidding yourself. You got a root of bitterness, and I'm going to yank it out. Come on. Choices. We're going to choose to go God's way, or we're going to choose to go. I love shotgun messages. It's just kind of like I get full and then go, pfft. That's what this is. A shotgun, if you don't know the difference, shotgun, when you shoot it, it has many different BB, it just goes everywhere. It's not good for hunting. But a rifle goes in one place. You're getting a shotgun. Hallelujah. Take what applies to you. If you don't think it does anyway. Get God's wisdom. Are you ready for God's wisdom? If you're going to make a choice, you got to get God's wisdom. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the primary principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. Proverbs 23:4, cease from your own wisdom. Colossians 1:19, we pray that you be filled with the knowledge. We pray that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We need wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. And then the Bible says in James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom... Anybody in the room lack wisdom? That's all of us. That's all of us. If any man in this room lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord, and he'll do what? Give you liberally without finding fault. Aren't you glad that God didn't expect you to know everything? Because as a matter of fact, he knows you don't know everything. And he's like, you're going to have to ask me because I know tomorrow. I know what's going to happen tomorrow. I need you to get with me and get my wisdom. And how do you know you got God's wisdom? It's peaceable. It's pure. The devil's wisdom is not those things. It's sensual. In other words, it determines on the senses to determine if it's right or not. Well, there's a lot of decisions you're going to make that you're not going to have anything to base it on except the leading of the Lord. And that's what I want to talk to you about, the leading of the Holy Ghost. Because there's a lot of decisions. How many of you know we're all supposed to be doers of the word? We got any doers of the word in here? And if we'll just do the word, I remember the Lord telling me one time, if my people would just do my word, I wouldn't have to talk to them so much, meaning that they wouldn't be in so many messes and being like, all the time. If we're just doing the word, are you with me? I'm a doer of the word. I'm just going to do his principles every day, and it'll lead me into the right place. I'll be doing the right thing. Amen. If I just do the word, just do the word, just do the word. In other words, I don't have to pray and ask, should I be nice to you? You know, Lord, how they can get. No, I don't have to ask. I just do it. Well, Lord, should I tithe? I don't have to ask. I just do it. Lord, should I come to church? I don't have to ask. I just do it. But in that, there are things you do have to ask. Lord, where do I go to church? Who's my pastor? That's what we tell people all the time in the meet and greet room. You're not looking for a church, you're looking for a pastor. And if you find your pastor, you'll find your church. Y'all went too quiet on that one. In other words, I need to go where my mail is delivered. And your mail is delivered at your church where your pastor is. And so, I believe letting the Lord lead you to your pastor is as equally important as the Lord leading you to the right spouse. I lost some of you on that one, but it is true. Well, I can just go to church anywhere. Well, I don't know. You just need to go where the Lord told you to go. And we tell people that all the time. I'd love for everybody to come here, but I tell them, you got to find your pastor. You got to find the man and woman of God who's supposed to speak into your life for this season. And the great postmaster, the Lord Jesus himself, will tell you, your mail's going to go somewhere else. It's kind of like Elijah during the time of the drought. The ravens were going to feed him at the brook Cherith, not the Tennessee River. If he had went to the Tennessee River instead of the brook Cherith, the ravens would still be dropping food. They're not looking for you. They're following their orders. And they're dropping at the brook Cherith. So if you're missing something, you got to check, am I at the right place doing the right thing? This is helping you a whole lot right now. In your career, in your business, in your life. Now, if you're married already, oh, you got the right one. Hallelujah. You got the right one, baby. Amen. You got the right one. But before that, how many of you know in every situation what kind of career you've got? Where do you live? Where do you go to church? Who are you going to marry? Where are you going to go to university at? All those things. Those are all open questions. How do you get those answers? Well, that's not in Mark 11. That's not in 1 John 2. You got to hear from heaven. So how do you hear from heaven? Well, you begin to rehearse scripture. John 10, 4 and 5. I am his sheep. I know his voice. And the voice of a... You got to quit being afraid you're going to make a mistake. Well, I just can't hear from God. That's a lie. Are you born again? Do I got any sheep in the room? Bah. When did you become a sheep? When did you become a sheep? Do you grow into sheephood? Is there a special place for sheeps? It's church, and it's for people who got born again. So are you a sheep? When did you become a sheep? When I got born again. Are you born again? Then the scripture says you know his voice. Everybody say, I know his voice. And also says the voice of a stranger you won't follow. Why I follow that voice? Because I know that voice too. I know that voice. I use this example all the time. Like I said, I don't know that we did any of this first service. We had two totally different services today. But my wife, we call her Susie Safety. You know, when I got stuck in Chile in that earthquake, I thought, what would Rhonda do? What would Rhonda do? What would Rhonda do? And then the Holy Ghost helped me remember what Rhonda would do. And, I mean, we could be, I don't know how much she still does this, but when we go to restaurants, when we're on the plane, she is the one person on the plane that is following along with the instructions, finding out where the doors are. I hated starting to travel by myself because I thought, oh, no, if something happens, I'm gone. So she does all that. We were in Manila, and the night before, there was an earthquake there. Don't anybody get afraid who's going with me to Chile. I think we've got this all covered. Everywhere I was going for a while, natural disasters were happening all the time. But we got this covered, if you pray. And so... So the night before in Manila, right before an earthquake, she was studying what you should do at the book at the hotel. At the Westin was telling you what you should do. She had it all studied out. And so I've just determined that when we're in a room together, I love you all. I appreciate you. But I know her voice. And I can distinguish it of 200 in the room. And if you're all screaming at me to go this way, and she's the only person screaming to go that way, I'm going with her. Because I've proved her, and I know her. I know her. And so if you're all yelling at me, I'm still going to listen for that voice. And when you're in the middle of a mess, you need to know his voice. And you need to get good at his voice. And what is his voice? Well, 1 John 5 and 10 says that you have a witness. How many of y'all born again, right? We already got that determined. Everybody born again? Born again, you can get born again today by believing that Jesus is the Son of God and he was raised from the dead. But because we're born again, the Bible says we have a witness. How do you know you're born again? How do you know? Well, because I love the brethren. Yeah, that's a good answer. But how many of you just know? Have any of you ever seen the Lamb's Book of Life? Sometimes I always say that, and I'm like, somebody's going, yeah, I saw it. Oh, good. I've never seen it. Most of you have never seen it. But is your name written in it? How do you know? I just know. And that's the same way with leading. When you're in the middle of making a choice, a decision, you need leading. You need knowings. Things like marriage, things like going to church, things like careers, things like what university to pick, where do I live, do I buy this house, do I buy this car? I mean, the Lord cares about all of it. He cares about all of it. But how do you figure it out? Because of leading. Because if you're not doing it by leading, it's like this. You go to sell a house because you're going to move away, which happens around here all the time, many times by the leading of the Lord. I know even as a pastor, I love it when people move in, but I'm like, oh, I don't ever want them to leave. But sometimes it's the Lord when they got to move from town to town. But how do you determine, am I supposed to go? Well, it's not by putting your house on the market and it sells in 3 days or it doesn't sell at all. If that's what you judge by, if you're in the will of God, then you're being led by circumstances and the devil. Because you cannot determine based on the natural things whether you're in the will of God or not. You just can't. You can't. I've watched so many people. That's like a fleece. Well, Lord, if you sell my house, then I know it's the will of God for me to leave. No. If he speaks to your heart, then that's it. That's all you need. And the rest will follow no matter if you got to stand in faith and believe. It happens immediately. Otherwise, you're being led by this natural senses and your wisdom is in the sense realm. You can't make choices and decisions based on anything except God's word and God's leading. And so we got to know God's leading. So I am his sheep and I know his voice, the voice of a stranger I will not follow. I have a witness on the inside of me. The Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And the same place I know I'm born again is where God leads me out of. I'm grateful for prophecies and dreams and all that. But when it comes right down to it, those things are to confirm what I'm already being led about. I'm not led by prophecy. I'm not led by dreams. I'm led by the witness. It's where I live. It's the safest guide. And how do you enhance it? It's by believing it. Fasting's great, but what you've got to believe is, I have a witness. I know the voice of my Father. I am his sheep. I know his voice, and I'm not going to make a mistake. Y'all, we got to be sure that we know his voice. I know his voice. I know the witness. I'm led by the witness. And so I'm part of the church. I have ears to hear what the Spirit of God says to me. Because I'm of the truth, I hear him. Amen. I'm his son. Therefore, I'm led by the Spirit of God. And so when I've got a decision to make, I've been preaching along these lines for 27 years, but I still rehearse those things. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I don't care how many times I preach them myself, I got to rehearse them. So that I can know, so that I can believe. I want to give you some things. Because I would love to say that I've been perfect at this. But just like you, not. And so now they're great sermon material. But I sure wish that I'd done a whole lot better. I often talk about this, and Pastor Rhonda was out the first service to the watching class, so now I'm going to have to reword how I say some of this because she's in the room. Of course, she can go back and watch the first one, but we lost that tape. Anyway, so there was a time, because this is what the Lord, and he really dealt with me this strong to help somebody. Is everybody listening to me? I got everybody's attention. Listen to this statement. When you think you are right about something, it is impossible for God to speak to you. Why? Every man's ways are right in his own mind, but it's the Lord that directs his steps. When you're convinced of something from something in the natural, the sense realm, you believe something you see, or you believe something that, I mean, your senses are grabbing a hold of, or you think you're just plain right. It is nearly impossible. And I'll show you that God has to go to an outside source to slap you up on the head. If you're not aware of something, you would just say, no, that's not true about me, or that's not what I'm, that no, no. Then he'll have to go to an outside source. He has to. And you've got decisions to make. And you need to know by the Spirit of God what's right to do. You need to know. Making a wrong choice and a wrong decision. I'm not saying that God can't ever get you back on the right course. The easiest way to get to Birmingham from here is get on 65 and go south. But if I get out in Hartsel and find myself in Mississippi, I can get back to Birmingham. It's just going to take a while, and the roads might not be so nice. I can get back there. But why take a detour if the Holy Ghost is telling you a direct path? You have to know. And he's going to tell you things that many times go against the sense realm. But that's when you need the wisdom of God. And you have to be confident that you know his voice. I know him. I'm not going to make a mistake. I know his voice. And the great thing about God is he'll keep talking to you and reassuring you. And if you take a wrong step, you've got the Spirit of God on the inside going, uh-uh. So this makes me look bad, but it makes Pastor Rhonda look good, but it's all right. So many years ago, we were traveling to Manila to go to teach in a Bible school, Damata, over there for some of our friends. And of course, we had to believe God for the money to come in, and we got our plane tickets. And Pastor Rhonda asked me, she's like, is your passport okay? And I'm like, my passport's fine. I was positive that it was in date and everything was good about it. And so she asked me, so what is that, going backwards in this story, what does that tell you? God had already been dealing with me about check my passport. But I was so sure about it that I didn't even, I was confident. How many of you know it's good to be confident? But you're confident in the wrong thing when God's trying to deal with you. Because I've been asking the Lord this stuff, kind of stuff for years. Because I watch people who love Jesus, who think they're doing the right thing, end up on a spiritual junk heap in a mess. How did they get there? They look like they were doing all the right things. They look like they were doing all the right parts. But something in their heart, when the Spirit of God was warning them, dealing with them, they ignored because they thought they were okay. And he had to go to an outside source to talk to them. Now, the thing about an outside source is, hopefully, you got enough outside sources that know how to hear from God that you trust them. Because if you've got no outside source that you trust, then you're stuck. So, she asked me once, and I was like, and I have to be honest, I got a little attitudinal with her. And I'm like, Rhonda, it's fine. Probably on the inside, I'm like, woman, be quiet. You can't leave me alone. You know, you're always, So, you know, second time, Mark. And then when she wants something, it was probably, sweetie, honey. So I'm like, Rhonda, it's fine. And I'm sure I did it with a little more. It's fine. Gosh. Okay. Well, this went over, you know, a few weeks. Third time, the Lord woke her up in the middle of the night. He said to her, it's not fine. Go look at his passport. So I think it was like 3 a.m. She's got a flashlight out. Trying not to disturb me, hoping to disturb me. And of course, she wakes me up in the middle of the night and is like, it's out of date. Problem was, we're leaving. By the mercy of God, if you think you're right, it's nearly impossible for God to lead you. Because you think you're right. You've got your mind made up. You have to go to an outside source. Thankfully, she kept after it. Because how many know it's right? And if I'm a person who is usually good, then okay, he's right. So we got my passport back 1 hour. Paid more money than we had to walk, have somebody come and walk it through. We got it 1 hour before the plane took off. Now, let me tell you something. If we would have flown all the way to Manila and my wife could have gone through customs and I'd have been on the other side, when I saw her a week or so later, I don't know if I'd be here to preach to you at this moment. She would have been mad. And I would have been mad. And God didn't want me to miss out what he called me to do. We paid for it all. But when you think you're right about something, maybe you've had God warn you and then an outside thing, people tried to warn you about your attitude or how you treat people or how you do this or how you do that. And then you ignore them. Well, then, you know, bad things start to happen. And then you're like, well, it's all their fault. Well, maybe it wasn't. Maybe God dealt with you, but you thought you were right. I've had some other time. I wish that was a one and done. How many of you wish that when you something happens, you would just learn it and go on? I wish that was a one and done. Now this one, she bears some fault with me. Many of you have heard this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. We were living in an apartment, and the Lord dealt with us time to leave. And when five of the six crimes happened in Madison on our street that day, we decided we should probably, you know, it's time to move. And so we began to look at this house. The Lord supernaturally, just like Moses choosing. The Lord supernaturally, just because it's God on one end doesn't mean you're going to get there if you choose wrong along the way. There was this house on a certain street, and the Lord dealt with me. He said, such and such house is your house. And so we drove by there and there wasn't nothing happened. But then he said, no, I said, and so we went by there again. And they began to build a house just where he said they were going to build it. This is supernatural. We watched that house be built. They put every, to the cabinet color, to the tile color, to the colors on the wall, everything we would have put if we were building it ourselves. We took her dad and said, we said, this is going to be our house. You like our house? You can stay in this. I mean, this is going to be our house. God gave this. This is ours. And we watched it and they built it. We were so excited. And yet it was out in our minds and our sense realm. It was out of our price. And so the Lord dealt with me, mostly me. The Lord dealt with me. And he told me to put an offer in on that house. And he gave me an amount. And we were off to obey God, man. We were going to another Bible school to preach in Spain and Italy. And we were off to do the work of the Lord, that even though God was compelling me, do it now. He even told me, do it before you go. Put this offer in. But I couldn't do it because in my mind, you know, it was like $30,000 below the ask price, maybe $40,000. And I was like, no, they're never going to take it, blah, blah, blah. We're going off to do the work of the Lord. Surely, Lord, you could, if that's really you, you can hold it. Disobeying the prompting of the Holy Ghost. Choices. Being led. God's wisdom versus man's wisdom. Because natural wisdom says there's no way. God's telling me to do something that looks foolish to my mind, and I don't know how we're going to do it. So I think I even talked to Pastor Ron about it, and I told her about it, and I said, yeah, I just don't think we're going to do it. So we got back 2 weeks later, and that house was sold. I was distraught, but we got to move. So we found this ugly house with termites at a discount. It's ugly. I hated it. I hated every room in it, but we could afford it. And it had termites. Did I tell you that? Front porch was falling off. Termites. It was ugly. But we were going to buy it because we could afford it. And so we went to Red Lobster to sign the deal because everything goes better with cheesy biscuits. Y'all know it's true, right? And so the realtor had the thing, and so I'm getting ready to sign, and I remember just kind of slapping the pen down and saying, I hate that house. I don't want that house. And then, of course, the girl was like, my deal, my commission. Then her cheesy biscuit wasn't sitting well. Anyway, so she goes, well, what kind of house you want? So I began to explain our house. And how we watched it, and it was perfect, and someone just sold it. And she's like, this and this a house on this and this a street? I'm like, yeah. She said, I sold that house. Well, now I wanted to throw a cheesy biscuit. Of all the realtors, how do you know there's thousands of them in this area? We have, I think, a good number in the church. And I said, hoping not to hear the answer that would make me really mad, what did you sell that house for? Y'all know the amount, right? The very amount the Lord told me. Oh, then I wanted to get in a fetal position. I was distraught. But the Lord gave us another house. It was a nice house. It was a beautiful house. We didn't make no mistake on that one, man. We got that one right away. When the Lord said, get it, we got it. Short story. I walked across the threshold. The Lord said, buy this one. Pastor Rhonda said, can I look at it? I said, sure, you can look at it, but this is the house. We got that house. We gave them a good offer. But 1 hour later, this house had been sitting empty for a year. 1 hour later, somebody wrote him a full price offer. The contractor was mad at closing, so he prayed for him because he lost a lot of money. So they built another house down the road just like it, and he got full price for it, so he was okay. But I'm just telling you, you got to know the Holy Ghost. One more story, and I'll let you go. I want you to follow the Lord. Somebody, listen to me. Some of you are making some decisions and life decisions. You've got to know the Holy Ghost. You've got to follow him. Everything, listen to me, everything is not as it appears. If you make wrong choices or you let what's going on in your life affect your choices, don't be like Esau, who traded away his place for some short-term gain. Moses did right instead of enjoying a position for a season. He chose God's way. So we were in the storefront as a church, so this is many, many years ago, and the owners told us we had to get out. So we had a congregation of about 40 people. That was everything that moved. 40 people, and it's time to move. And so the Lord, someone said, there's this church for sale. It was a Monday night praise and worship practice. There's a church for sale. Go look at it. So they told us this church, and it was the A-frame where we ended up. So this is when the churches, there was a rash of churches being burnt in Alabama. So here me and Rhonda were over there, and when we pulled up into the parking lot, I got so excited. I literally said, I got to get out of the car and run. She's like, no, you're not. Run within. You, move your feet. Run like you're running on the inside, but you're not getting out of this car and running. We are so excited. This is it. So then we went back to the person who told us it was for sale, and it was the wrong church. It wasn't for sale. The church that they were talking about was up behind Thomas Pitt Barbecue, and it was for sale. And there's no way I could ever have worked at church behind Thomas Pitt Barbecue. I already have enough trouble now. I would have been eating barbecue morning, noon, and night because it's my favorite barbecue. It would have been awful. It would have just been terrible. I couldn't even preach. It would have been like drinking white sauce all day long. I was just bad. It would have been awful. And so I was depressed. I was like, well, what was that reaction in the spirit? I knew that it was God. And thank God for my wife. She said, you don't know. Because it's not for sale. It's not for sale. She said, you don't know. They could have had a board meeting last night to put it on the market. And y'all know the story. They were having a board meeting that night to put it on the market. And I called them and said, nothing against the realtors, but we didn't have to deal with the realtor, so we didn't have to pay any extra money. And we got them to do $40,000 worth of work for free. And there's more story to that. But if I'd have gone with my mind, my sins. The Holy Ghost gave me a great demonstration so that I would know it was him. He'll help you. But you and I have to make sure we're always obeying him. One of the things that I found the hardest is sometimes when you think something is impossible from happening, you override it. When you got a little uncomfortable, when something's not quite right, or the Lord tells you to do something and you can't figure it out, that's when you need to, I know his voice. Come on, everybody, do it with me. Say, I know his voice. The voice of a stranger, I will not follow. Y'all stand.